thank you and we praise you that Jesus is the blessing, that Jesus is the favor of God. And Father, we thank you for granting us wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus tonight, opening up the eyes of our understanding so that we can go ahead and walk in the blessing of God and walk in your blessing. So we just thank you, we praise you, we bless you for what you're going to reveal in your word, Father, to us this night in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title for tonight's talk is Choosing the Blessing of God from Psalm 1. In Christ, the fullness of God dwells. It is time for you and I to courageously stand in the fullness of the blessing of God, which is in Christ Jesus, in whom the fullness of the Godhead dwells, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the greatest blessing we will ever receive in our lives, is the triune God. And by receiving Jesus Christ, the good news of the gospel, as a living reality for your life, you will be able to enter in to the blessing of God. Romans 15, 29, Paul said this, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Colossians 2, 9 through 10, for in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Through Christ's redemptive work of the cross, Jesus was made a curse for you. He was made sin for you so that you could receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3:14 in the New Living Translation says it this way, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Galatians 3:13-14 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs upon a tree, that the blessing of Abraham would come upon the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Through faith, you receive the promise of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel prophesied this. In Ezekiel 36, 26, he says, I will put a new spirit in you. Then Jesus comes along and he prophesies this. John 14, 17, the Spirit of truth will be in you. Then John, he looks back at what Jesus did for us through the new birth, and he declares in 1 John 2, 27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides or dwells in you. Through faith in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which was purchased by Jesus' blood, you have been redeemed back to God, back to the blessing of God. This is the blessing of God that Adam and Eve enjoyed before the fall of mankind through sin. The blessing of God was the Spirit of God that dwelt in them and through them so that they would be able to enjoy the fellowship with God, walking with him and talking with him in that Garden of Eden and enjoying all the blessings that there were in the Garden of Eden and being able to fulfill the promise that God had spoken over their lives in Genesis 1:28, to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over everything that moves on the earth. So let us go back to the beginning, where the blessing of God originated in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The Apostle John, he reflects on what happened in the beginning. He begins writing the book of John using the same phrase that appears in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. And John expounds on what happened in creation, giving us divine insight of how Jesus was implicitly mentioned in the creation of the world as described in Genesis. John states in John 1:1-5, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light, it shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." In the beginning of Psalm 1, just like in Genesis 1, Jesus is implicitly mentioned. Where is Jesus mentioned? In Psalm 1? Well, it's in the very first letter, the first word of Psalm 1, and the very last letter of the last word of Psalm 1. And you'll discover one of Jesus' descriptive names. In the very first letter of the first Hebrew word, which is for blessed, is the Hebrew word ashrei. And the first letter of it is aleph. At the end of Psalm 1, in the very last letter of the last Hebrew word for perish, is tah, seen in the Hebrew word tobed, which is for perish. So aleph and tah are the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Therefore, in aleph and tah, the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet, there appear in Psalm 1 at the very beginning, the very end, we are reminded of Jesus Christ, the one who is the Alpha and Omega. The Alpha and Omega is what's equivalent to the first word letter and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Tau, the Aleph and the Tau in Hebrew, and the Alpha and the Omega in Greek. Jesus Christ is God's representative for mankind. And Jesus Christ is the one who is the absolute beginning of all things and the absolute end of all things. Isaiah 44:6 puts it like this. Jesus is prophetically speaking and he says, "I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God." And in the last book of the Bible, the Omega book of the Bible, in Revelation 22:13, Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Everything that exists originates from God. Every good thing, every blessing emanates from God. When Moses asked to see God's glory, God responded to his request by saying, Exodus 33:19, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you." One thing that we know about God is that God is good. Psalm 107:1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." The blessing is good. The blessing is from God. The curse is bad. The curse is from sin. Let us not call what is a curse a blessing. Sickness, poverty, broken relationships, they are a curse. Last week I mentioned an extensive listing of the curses and blessings which are mentioned in Deuteronomy 27:28. And if you want to take some time, this is a great way to familiarize yourself what is actually a curse and what is actually a blessing, so that you don't confuse the two, and therefore then you realize that Jesus redeemed you from all the curses that are listed, hallelujah, and that you now receive all the blessings through Jesus Christ, not by your merit, but because of Jesus Christ's merit. James 1, 15 through 17 contrasts the curse that comes through sin and the blessing that comes from God. It says this, "Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fullness grown, brings forth death. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." So if it's good, it's God, and if it's not, it's not. Roman numeral 3, choosing your destiny. Jesus, the Alpha and Omega in Psalm 1, is the beginning and end of all things. Psalm 1:6 ends with this word, perish. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Perishing eternally in the lake of fire is the destiny of all those who have chosen to reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Every choice you make in life is not merely a choice of one way over the other way, but rather it is really a choice of who you will worship and who you will serve. Will it be God or will it be Satan? Every choice is a choice between God or a choice between Satan. In Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, Jesus' response to his first temptation by Satan is to be the response that you should make in your heart when tempted. Jesus said this, "Get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve." For believers in Jesus Christ, your destiny is not to perish, but to have everlasting life, just like John 3:16 says. The Greek word for life, it includes everything God is and all that God has. It's the blessing. The Zoe life is the blessing of God. I describe it as the greatest blessing of God, possessing the life of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And from them originates all other blessings. The destiny of the righteous is described in Psalm 1:6, "The Lord knows the way of the righteous." It looks prophetically forward to Christ becoming our righteousness through the great exchange of the cross. Only those who have received Jesus Christ as their righteousness will be able to survive the end time judgment because their sins will not be counted against them. Psalm 33, verse 2 reflects on this as it uses the same Hebrew word, ashrei, that appears in the first word of Psalm 1 for blessed. Let's look at the NIV version. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them and whose spirit is no deceit. Roman numeral 4, choosing the blessed man, Jesus Christ. Psalm 1:1, the introduction to all the other psalms, begins with this phrase, "Blessed is the man." The man is Jesus Christ and all those who take their place in Jesus Christ. The man Jesus is like no other man. He's not like the first Adam, as reflected in the Hebrew word Adam, which means a human being or mankind in general. The Hebrew word for man used in Psalm 1:1 is ish, which is descriptive of the man, Jesus Christ, the last Adam. So Psalm 1:1 says this, "Blessed is the man." 1 Corinthians 15:45-47 says this, "And so it is written, the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is from the Lord, from heaven. Jesus Christ is the only one who has ever and will ever completely fulfill the character description of the blessed man as presented in Psalm 1. Jesus Christ was and always will be the only one that has perfectly demonstrated the righteous way. Jesus Christ is the only one who is able to live completely in the blessed state as described in Psalm 1 here on this earth. Why? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The glory spoken of here in Romans 3:23 is the glory of God, the glory that far outweighs man's ability to be holy as God is holy. When I put on, I told you last week, the rose-colored glasses, the new covenant lens, when I read Psalm 1, I saw Jesus implicitly mentioned in the very first phrase of Psalm 1. And when I did, my heart, it really did, it started to leap for joy, and I started praising God. I'm going, God, this is so good. I go on my walks, and I'm going, God, this is so good. I can hardly believe what I found out about you in Psalm 1. Why is it so good to know that he's the blessed man and that in him we can take our place? It's because none of us can walk perfectly as Jesus Christ walked. And he didn't want us to live under any condemnation from thinking that we have to carry it out perfectly. God so loved you and I that he sent his son Jesus Christ to be made sin for us, to bear the curse for our imperfect obedience. Well, we are growing up into the fullness of his character. He did this so that we could live in the blessing of God despite our failure along the way. By our faith in Jesus Christ, the blessed God, the blessed man, you and I are empowered to deny ungodliness, the counsel of the ungodly, the path of sinners, the seat of scoffers, as described by Psalm 1. The blessing of God contains the power of God, the ability and the resources of God to walk in the way of Jesus Christ, the righteous one, in his righteousness. Romans 6:14 says this, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Through the indwelling of the promised Holy Spirit, as spoken of in Galatians 3:14, your state of powerlessness in your spirit man is completely gone, because the power source, the Holy Spirit, the anointed one, is now within you. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. Through Jesus Christ and the anointing dwelling in you, you are empowered to prosper in whatever you do, because you are choosing to live your life by faith in Jesus Christ, who loves you and gave himself for you. Psalm 1:3 says, "And in whatever you do, you shall prosper." And it's through Christ that you will be made prosperous, very prosperous, and always continue in prosperity. In Psalm 1:1, God empowers you not to pursue the thirst of the world, the thirst of sin, but rather to have your thirst satisfied in Christ's rivers of love, grace, and goodness, Psalm 1:3. Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, says to you tonight, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountains of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Revelations 21:6. God calls you to taste and to see that he is good. In Psalm 34:8, it says that, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who puts their trust in him. That word blessed is that same word blessed that occurs in Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man. How can we taste and see that the Lord is good? The answer is in Psalm 1, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Because Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the Aleph and Tau, God is calling you to meditate day and night. From the very beginning of time to the very end of time, from the beginning of Psalm 1 to the end of Psalm 150, from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, on Jesus Christ, the one who is the Word of God, the one who is the blessed man. Number 5, praying in Jesus' name, the Alpha and Omega. God desires that every prayer you pray and every song you sing to him from the Psalms, as well as any other prayer or song in the entire Bible or anything you come up with, are to be prayed and sung in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. I believe this is one reason that God introduces Jesus to us in Psalm 1 as the Aleph and Tau, the Alpha and Omega. And it's within that very first psalm of the Psalter, which is to be our book of prayer and song. One of the first principles of prayer is that we pray in Jesus' name. What does this mean? It means we come before God not on our own merit, but rather on the merit of Jesus Christ, his righteousness. John 14:13. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Our own righteousness, the Lord says this in the Bible, is as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We can't come to God with self-confidence attached to our prayers, thinking that we have prayed long enough, fasted hard enough, or done everything right to deserve an answer. And when we come to, and we can't come to God with lack of confidence in Jesus' blood because of our own failure of falling short of God's righteousness, his holy standard, falling short of his glory, we are called to come to God in the name of Jesus Christ and in his name only. If you and I look at our own life apart from the blood of Jesus Christ, apart from the rose-colored glasses he calls us to wear, which is to remind us of his blood that he's purchased for, you know, that he has purchased our righteousness for us, we'll always find something, some form of sin or weakness, some way in which we find ourselves not pleasing to God. As believers, we will be going through a sanctification process throughout the entirety of our lives. Therefore, it is our privilege and honor to come to God in the name of Jesus Christ, who was totally pleasing to Father God. John 8:29, Jesus said, "And he who sent me is with me." The Father has not left me alone. Did you know the Father has not left you alone? For I always do the things that please him. Jesus said that. And in Jesus, we are able to say, I always do the things that please my Father. Matthew 3:17, God spoke and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In Christ, we can confidently stand and say, I am God's beloved child. He is well pleased with me. Why don't you just say that after me right now? I am God's beloved child. He is well pleased with me. And now when you say it, you might need to say that over and over and over again. Look yourself in the mirror until you really believe it deep down in your heart. And that will transform the way you live. It'll transform your heart. Point six, meditating on God's love. The scripture declares the intrinsic nature of God. God is love. 1 John 4:16. One of the highest characteristics of love is that it's always looking for ways to express itself or to give away what it has. I'm going to declare John 1:1 right now, substituting Jesus Christ for the Word and love for God. In the beginning was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was with love. And Jesus Christ was love. Through the new covenant lens, God calls you to meditate day and night upon the Word of God, upon Jesus Christ, who is the love of God made flesh. Meditation involves not only the pondering or thinking about God and His Word through the lens of His great love for you, but it also involves talking with God and about God as revealed in His Word, not letting His words depart from your mouth. And it involves walking in His words. Joshua 1:8 gives all these dynamics of meditating on God's Word. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. The closest word to meditation in the New Testament is abiding. Abiding carries the concept of being fully united in thought, word, and deed with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, the one who is the Word of God. The call to abide in God's love is a call to full-hearted obedience, continually living your life deeply engaged in this eternal reality of His immeasurable love for you. John 3:16, for God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. John 15:9-10, I love this one. It's been my meditation many, many days. As a Father loved me, I also love you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. God loves you with the same intensity that He loves His own Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:16, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. From the very beginning of time, God had a plan to share His love, to share Himself with the world. So the Spirit of God hovered over God's plan of love. And Jesus spoke love into existence the very first day of creation. The very life of God, the light of Jesus Christ, love itself, was spoken into existence. Genesis 1, 2 through 3. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. This light is the light of love. This light is Jesus Christ. This light is God Himself. John 1:4, in Him, Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Thoughtfully designed and planned by God, the world was enveloped in an atmosphere of love, an atmosphere that was filled with His own very nature. He created the world for His family, for you and I, so we could experience His love, so we could share in His eternal state of happiness. This love He shared with us included the sharing of His own nature, as well as everything that belonged to Him. The angelic hosts were created to worship and serve mankind, those that God set His love upon. Hebrews 1, 13 through 14. But to which of the angels has He ever said, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? But Satan, who was one of the angels, he rebelled against God because of his pride. Remember, choices determine destiny, and we're talking about eternal destiny. He did not want to worship and serve God or mankind, but he wanted to be worshiped and served. This is revealed when Jesus spoke to Satan during his time of temptation. "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only you shall serve.'" Because of Satan's rebellion, he was kicked out of heaven and thrown to the earth. Ezekiel 28, 18. "By all your iniquity and unrighteous businesses, you defiled your sanctuaries. So I am going to bring out fire from within you and burn you to ashes on the earth before the whole watching world." At that time of his sin, Satan's name was, it was Lucifer, morning star, and it was changed to Satan, adversary. He's your adversary. You battle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers, the spiritual forces of darkness and wickedness in the heavenly places. And it began here with Satan and one third of his angels, of God's angels that he carried along with him to bring the curse on the earth. Point Roman numeral 7, the blessing given to Adam and Eve. When God created man, he used himself as a blueprint. This is like, you guys got to meditate on this one. God used himself as the blueprint to create you and you and you and you and you and you. I mean, he did it for me. I'm the blueprint of God. Before the foundation of the world, he has decided to make an exact copy of himself. As believers in Christ, our spirit man has been recreated into the exact image and likeness of God. And Satan, your adversary, hates seeing all these little Jesuses all over the world because you're made in his exact image and likeness. You might not see it, but the spirit world sees it. Okay. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And this he did, according to Ephesians 1:4. He put this in his plans before the foundation of the world. He saw your image, like Psalm 139 says, before it was yet formed. Point B. Immediately following the creation of man, the first words Adam and Eve heard was the blessing God spoke over them. Because Adam and Eve stood as representatives of all of mankind, this blessing was for the entire human race throughout all ages. When these words were spoken, it was the first time that the blessing of God was released into the earth. This is the blessing that was spoken over them from Genesis 1:28. And it is the blessing of God for your life. God blessed them and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." This means you have dominion over every virus, every bacteria, every cancerous cell. God has given you dominion over all things. Point number 8, in the beginning, man lived in the blessing of God. Blessed is the man, appeared in Psalm 1:1, refers to the beginning of creation in Genesis 1, where it says, God blessed them. So can you imagine this in Psalm 1:1 that we're studying, blessed is a man. This blessing refers back to Genesis 1:28, where God blessed them. When you start actually looking at the depth of Psalm 1, it's like, whoa, you know. Contained in the words of the blessing given to Adam and Eve, contained in the blessing that's been given to you, is the empowerment to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill, subdue, and have dominion over the earth. The blessing allowed them not only to have access to God and all his resources, both spiritual and natural, in heaven, but the blessing gave them the privilege, as it gives to you, to release the resources of heaven throughout all the earth. Fruitful and multiply, what's that all about? It's talking about productivity, abundance, increase. Fill the earth, what are we to fill the earth with? God's love, his goodness, and everything that's good from God, you know, every good and perfect gift that comes from him. Subdue and have dominion. Why did Adam and Eve need to subdue and have dominion? Because unlike the Garden of Eden, they needed to bring the perfect will of God into all the earth. And Adam and Eve's divine job assignment allowed them to use God's authority and his power to subdue and have dominion over every living thing. Through God's spoken blessing over Adam and Eve, he empowered them to prosper. He empowers you to prosper and to succeed in the destiny he created them for. The destiny for them is God's destiny for you. What is your destiny in Christ Jesus? It's the Zoe life of God. It's the ability to think like God, the ability to speak like God, the ability to do what God does, and the ability to get the results that God gets. This is the Zoe life of God. This is the blessing of God. Through the new birth in Jesus Christ, our spirit man is not only recreated in God's likeness and image, but the blessing of God has been restored to us through Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:13-14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs upon a tree, that the blessing of Abraham would come upon the Gentiles, would come upon you and I through Christ Jesus. Why? So that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The Holy Spirit is key to you walking in the blessing of God. Point number 9, understanding the fullness of the blessing of God. So let's go back to the word blessed in Psalm 1:1. Ashrei is the Hebrew word for blessed or happy, seen in Psalm 1:1. The more accurate translation for ashrei would be blessednesses or happinesses, because that's the plural form. But there's no such thing as blessednesses or happinesses in the English dictionary. Even though this session has covered different aspects of the blessing that is ours in Christ Jesus, this word is so multidimensional that we will be discovering it for all eternity. Ashrei occurs in what is called the indicative form and would read something like this, oh, like Wes's song, oh, happy, you know. So, oh, the blessednesses, oh, the happinesses, many times over. So the gist of this word would carry the flavor of wisdom literature. Oh, how envied is that blessed man. And when I thought of that, it drew me back to Genesis 26:13, something I say to my husband as we give our offering every Sunday. Isaac, he sowed in a time that there was a drought. And he prospered so much that everyone around him became envious, to the point that the water that was coming up from the wells that he would dig, they would stop him. Thinking they were going to stop the blessing, but they could not. Genesis 26:13 says this, the man, this is what the blessing does for you. The man began to prosper and continue to prosper until he became very prosperous, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. The last meaning I want to present regarding Ashrei is the idea that it's a word that reflects a state of being, and that is a masculine noun and gender, which directly links us to the blessed man that I've described earlier, Jesus Christ, in whom the multiplicity of blessings reside. I believe this is crucial for you and I to realize, because the moment you receive Jesus Christ into your heart as our Lord and Savior, your state of being immediately changed from being in Adam to being in Christ. The blessed man is a state of being. You are no longer one who is in Adam, but your state of being is in Christ. And it's only in Christ, through his righteousness, that you can expect and receive by faith the fullness of the blessings of God. In Christ, you can enter into the state of the great I am, the one who is fully blessed and from whom all blessings flow. Through the blessing God has given to you, to mankind, has been restored through his Son, Jesus Christ, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God says to you and I tonight, all I am and all I have is yours. He blesses you with himself. Because of God's great love, he had this plan of giving you his all before he created you, before the foundation of the world. God has blessed you, not out of, but according to his riches and glory, according to Ephesians 3:16. Let us all stand and declare Ephesians 1:3-5 out loud together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. So, Father, we thank you for this message that has gone forth. We choose tonight the blessing of God that is in your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would strengthen each person here and each person that will be listening by the power of your Holy Spirit in the inner man to, Father, be able to walk in the blessing that you have already given to us and not to be deceived, Father, in giving it away through sin and through unrighteous living. So, Father, we just thank you, we praise you, we bless you. You are the blessed God, and we are your blessed people. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And amen.